a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a small kick return!
Strike two. It wasn't to be for Hull on Friday night. And now Falkirk are in the last chance saloon. And it all comes down to this Friday at the Falkirk Stadium. It's a complete shootout between us and Livingston. And hopefully this time next week we'll be back on here saying we're champions. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, otherwise known as the Falkirk Therapy Session. This is session two after session one last week. And I'm delighted that to join me in my pain this week is the ginger god of pod himself. He's back from Florida. It is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, John Boy. It's been a tough few weeks from a football perspective.
Anyway. I was really hoping that you came back onto the podcast and we'd be all talking about Falkirk winning the league, but it wasn't to be against Raith Rovers. It wasn't to be again on Friday night. We're going to completely dissect that with our guest pundit Brian Funn of Behind the Wall fame. But it's just like. Last week, and I pulled up my hand, I woke up pretty much, I was waking up in the middle of the night and I couldn't get back to sleep because all I could think about was Friday. Woke up again, my wife got up out of bed about 3:30, 4 this morning, couldn't get back to sleep because all I could think about was Friday. I'm sure a lot of people are in the exact same position as me, but it's just been so hard going. And just for the sake of my sanity, mental health and sleep, can we just please get this over the line, Falkirk, and get it done? Because honestly, I can't handle it anymore. I honestly can't handle it. How's your mental health, Ross?
Do you know, it was all right until... Yeah, football aside, it's been brilliant. However, it has been a weird, weird few weeks. Obviously, my last game and last podcast was talking about the big win over Morton.
Yeah.
And it just felt like we only needed a point or three maximum at that point. And... it's been a series of unfortunate events.
Well, let me fill you in on what's happened in your absence, Ross. So, yes, we gifted Ayr a last-minute goal to equalise. Those 2 points now would have been invaluable. At the time, I was like, that's fine. That's has got our draw. We'll be fine. Then it was on to Raith, and you thought, brilliant. And we would have won that game if Sean Mackey hadn't got sent off. I do believe we'd have went on to win that game. Silly mistake. Then we're on to round strike two, which we're talking about today. It's Partick Thistle, and we'll talk about what happened there. But it's just been to the point it's getting really annoying. I'm sure every Falkirk supporters out there has got mates who support the Old Firm or various other teams, and all you're getting is messages from these guys going, "What's happening? What's happening? I had a message from a St Johnstone supporter today, I had a message from a Morton supporter, had a message from, obviously, Old Firm supporters going, what's going on? No. What's going on? And that's what we'll get to the bottom of by the end of this podcast, hopefully. But it's been so... I mean, Friday night was just... build-up was great, as ever. Ross, I got the train through, I went from Larbert, you went from Falkirk High... I'm not proud of this, Ross, I'll be honest with you. I had a half bottle of Bucky on the train. Went old school.
That is old school.
Me and my mate split a half bottle of Bucky on the train on the way through.
Is that what tipped you over the edge about?
Yeah, so it was one thing to the other, so then I went to the Scottish Malt Whiskey Society. Very classy members only bar, sat in there, had a dram and a nice burger, and then met you in the Woodside, obviously. And then up to the ground after that. But
you know, as always, John, as you said, pre-match and the build-up to the game was brilliant, as it always is. Fans were up for it. I think the players were up for it as well. You saw that. Obviously, I know we'll get into the start of the game with Brian when he comes on, but yeah, just that series of unfortunate events that we've just talked about seems to be hitting us the last few weeks, and we need to just cut out the individual group mistakes and on Friday just win the game. That is it. All that is all we need to do is we need to win the game.
That's it. That's it.
Easier said than done. I know
Yes.
it is easier said than done, but
Yeah.
that is it. That's all that's stopping us becoming champions is winning a game of football on
Yeah, I
Friday
mean,
night. Oh.
I mean, you go into the Facebook, come on, you Bairns Facebook page, and it's just all over the place. People are just going, like, we need to get positive. People are just going fucking mental at it. We're all going through that stage of grief, at the moment, and we went through that last week. We're going through it again this week, and come Friday, hopefully the positivity has returned, and we can just bring the noise to the stadium, and hopefully walk out of there champions on Friday night, and it'll be a hell of a night, and it'll be a hell of a way to do it in front of the fans in the last game. And like we've always said, you told us we'd be in this position going into the last game with a chance of winning the league at start season. Jesus Christ, you would have ripped. You would have absolutely brilliant. It's just the way it's happened. It is
Aye,
simply just the way
that is
it's
just the way it's
happened.
happened.
You know what I
Yeah.
mean? You
No, I
wouldn't have
do.
believed it at the start of the season if someone had told you that. But it's just what's happened in the last couple of weeks, which is really hurting. And we'll get into it. We'll get into it. There's a lot to discuss. Anyway, before we get into all that, let's go into talk about the Falkirk Daft Player and Goat of the Season Awards, which are going to be awarded on Friday night at Behind the Wall. And the nominations, me and Ross, we looked at the Falkirk Daft rated pretty much, and the kind of four players that stood out, I think that they're quite obvious. Maybe the fourth one, not so much. But what are the nominations for the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year, Ross?
Yes, so we have, in no particular order, we have Calvin Miller, we have Mr. Brad Spencer, we have Liam Henderson, and Nicky Hogarth. That is our four players of the season.
I'm sure there'll be a couple of question marks over Nicky again, but looking at our Falkirk Daft rating, Nicky's been up there this season, been very consistent. I guess the other names you could throw into that mix, Keelan Adams. Is there an argument for Scott Arfield potentially? But I think it's quite harsh to give out his concern. He's only been with us since January.
Look, like Alfie had a few as well, and yeah, there's a few players. But listen, this is what happens when you've got a winning team. There's always going to be conversations about and arguments about who should be in. But certainly, obviously, Calvin, Brad, and Liam are
I
up
think
for
they're
being
the
said.
obvious ones. They're
Yeah,
the
they're the
very
obvious
obvious.
ones.
I
I
don't think you
think
can argue against any single one of them.
no, not at all. And Nicky was obviously unlucky to miss out on the PFA Team of the Year as well over Jerome Pryor at Livingston. I think they've both got a very similar shutout rate from what I saw. So yeah, it's a tough one on Nicky from a PFA perspective. But yeah, he's been a very, very big part of the winning run that we've had.
So keep your eyes on our social medias for the vote on that. And as well as that, we are giving the goal of the season as well. And the nominations are
We have Liam Henderson versus Partick Thistle back in August. We've got Dylan Tate versus Airdrie in September. We've got Ross McKeever also in September versus Celtic. And we have the most recent Sean Mackey strike down at Somerset Park. So it's four belters.
which one actually go of the season at the recognition night. But I do think there's a bit of recency bias there, with that, looking back at it. But we're going to stick up those goals, and it's your decision. You decide who wins the goal of the season. And we'll have, of course, the Dafty of the season as well. Now, I've kept this quiet from Ross because he's one of the nominations for Dafty of the season after his miss on the crossbar challenge. So Ross Wayne is nomination number one. We're looking down the line. Dougie Imrie, he's definitely nomination number two because he's picked up a couple of them. Nomination number three is Scott Brown's trousers, which has picked up two Dafty awards as well. Scott Brown's half mast trousers. And nomination number four, Chris McGill, the kit man. He's picked up two nominations in the Dafty Stakes as well.
Well, I know who my vote's going for.
I know exactly who's going to win Dafty of the Year, and it's not going to be anyone else on that list aside from you, I'm pretty sure. But that is the Dafty of the Year. So all those categories will be on our social media. Please vote on them, and all the awards will happen on Friday night Behind the Wall. We'd love to see. We can't wait to see you all down there. It'll be a great night. Well, I'm saying it's going to be a night. It's going to be a very nervous night there. But it's not how we expected to go. And looking at the booking, obviously, Ewan Cameron and Craig Telfer from the Terrace, it's going to be interesting now with those two there.
See, if either of them start with pish, I think we'll sort them out.
Oh, yeah,
220 people in there to sort them out as well.
Oh, so. Exactly. As I said before, we are the faces and they are the heels in this kind of wrestling analogy that I'm using. But yeah, it's all tickets obviously sold out for that. Doors open at 4:30. It's a 5 o'clock start. We're going to have to watch our timings on this because the buses leave at 6:45. So first half, talking to Ewan and Craig about the season. Ross Fairweather's coming along, doing a couple of tunes in the interval. And then Stephen McGinn is back on, chatting with Stephen, bit of Q&A with him, give out the awards. And then we're down at the stadium, hopefully, and winning, watching Falkirk become champions. It's going to be really nervous.
It is, but listen, we've just said every game pre-game, the fans are always up for it, right? So Friday will be no different. We'll be up for it. The fans will do their part and the players just need to do theirs between 7:45 and 9:30. I'm sure they will.
Absolutely. And actually on that as well, we're doing another event and this is with the club. We are being asked to host the official end of season event. Hopefully that turns into the champions party on the Saturday. It's going to be an absolute shit show if we haven't won the league at that point. But we'll get through it together. It'll be group therapy session number 3, live on stage with Jim Jeffries, Billy Brown, Champs to Win Captain's Armbands, and again, Ross Fairweather's following us about. He's going to be performing. There'll be a DJ. There's going to be player appearances. It's running from 3 p.m. until late. As well, tickets can be purchased on Falkirk Football ticket site now. So that's the Manakee. You're going back, keeping it old school. We're in the Manakee next Saturday, Ross. Looking forward to it.
I'm
looking forward to it at the moment.
No, listen, I'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
I'm a positive head on. The other thing is, right, a lot of clubs do these end of season events, and it's a chance for the supporters clubs who I know missed out on their. Their night. So there's going to be a lot of supporters clubs there who are going to be giving their player of the year trophies out. Certainly we'll be able to do the same, which is something.
Okay, of course.
Whilst we announce ours on Friday night, we'll actually be able to give the trophies out on Saturday as well. I think it'll be, there's already 300 and odd tickets being sold, that was the case at the end of last week.
Yeah.
There could well be more now. There's a 700 capacity in the Manakee, so there's a fair amount of space for...
Jesus!
What I would also say is if Friday night goes as well as we'll hope it will, it won't just be a selection of players there. All the players will be there, the management, and there'll be a big silver thing for people to get their photo taken with as well. So fingers crossed that's how Friday pans out, and it means Saturday will be even better than it already.
So you've just got to take a gamble. What we would say is buy your tickets if you want to take that gamble. If you're sure that Falkirk are going to win the league, take the gamble, get your tickets, and we'll see you down there on Saturday for what will be a great event if everything goes to plan. So yeah, so if you didn't get tickets for Falkirk Daft, get down on Saturday. We'd love to see you down there. It should be a good day. Not too sure what we're going to do yet, Ross, but we'll figure it out.
We always figure it out. We always have a good laugh with the players and the guests who are there. And Jim and Billy are two brilliant guests for us too.
Oh, I can't wait. That'll be great talking to Jim and Billy. I'm really looking forward to it. They're great characters.
Do you know Dale Byrne, who is someone we quote a few times on this podcast, he messaged me today as well and he reminded me that the two promotions under Jim Jeffries in the 90s all were settled on the last day. This is not something unique to our current modern day. This is something that as Byrnes who were there in the 90s, this is not unusual. A final day shootout, and it worked then, and it's going to work now. Positive thinking, we're going to be champions.
I'm glad we've got the captain of positivity back in the podcast today to try and, you know, by the end of it, I'll be like back on the Wayne train. What's the fuck's happening to the Wayne train, Ross? Why is it delayed?
What the Wayne train has happened in the last 3 weeks, right? It's went from being the Orient Express to fucking ScotRail in about 3 weeks. And it's so close to just being written off. However, there is a big chance that it's going to go straight down the line on Friday night.
All right. Absolutely. Right, let's head into Birthday Corner then and start off with this one saying, hi guys, it'd be great if you could give my sister Ella Robb a mention on Birthday Corner. She's a massive Bairns fan and turns 16 on the 29th of April, and that's from Mum, Dad, Cara and Louise. I'm just going to quickly check because we like to do what Falkirk
Also, a happy birthday to Nicola Byrne, and that she's her birthday's today. We're recording on Sunday night, and that's from Graham. So, a big happy birthday to
right,
Nicola.
So let's go Nicola first. She shares her birthday. Oh, it's Jim Duffy's birthday today. I must message him and wish him a happy birthday. Jim Duffy of Clyde One fame. Jim Duffy, and obviously ex-Falkirk manager, and the uncle of Gary Oliver. So he, Jim turns what age? 59. So what age is that to do? Quick math, 41. No, kind of. Work it out, Ross. You doing 66? 66 today, Jim?
What year was he born?
59, 66. Is that right today?
There you go.
Another person that you share your birthday with is Steve Tosh, Nicola. There you go.
Steve Tosh. To be fair, he was brilliant for the period. I know he was only here like half a season or so, wasn't he?
Oh, he was really good. Yeah.
But he was brilliant. Sorry, you said 1959 for Jim. Aye, so 66. Did you say
66? And Steve Tosh was 73. So he is quick maths, Ross. Come on.
1973. So that's what 52.
52, sorry, 52, you're right. 52, Steve Tosh. There you go, so there you go. And Blair Snedden as well. What's Blair Snedden? Where's he now?
Who the fuck's Blair Snedden?
But Blair Snedden, he was a fullback for us. He's at Berwick Rangers now.
Is this a few years ago?
Yeah.
When we had about 70 players.
Blair Snedden was one of the young players that came through the academy. So there you go. And then 29th of April, we'll have a quick look at that for Ella. Let's see who's 29th of April. Who exciting in the Falkirk world did you share your birthday with? It is... here we go. This Better Medal site is brilliant. Ali Graham! There you go. Ali Graham. One of the worst strikers that's ever played for Falkirk.
Which one? Because there was two.
It's the old one. Oh, no! It's not the old one. It's the young one.
It's the young one. Ali Graham, right. Okay.
It wasn't as bad as the original Ali. No. He came with us and was rotten. Despite scoring loads of goals for Raith Rovers, he came to us and he was absolutely rotten for Falkirk. Rhys Walker as well. He's turning 19. He's turning 19. As well, so there you go. So that's who Cara shares her birthday with on Birthday Corner. Hi guys, could you please wish Glenn Heaps a happy birthday for tomorrow on the podcast? That's done. Absolutely. Happy birthday, Glenn. Happy birthday to Will Adam. That's from Stuart. And obviously his sister Ruby, who was on the podcast last week. Will was 24 on May Day, which is fitting for how we all feel just now. Yes.
Very true.
Very, very true. And listen, it's not just about birthdays, it's about shout-outs as well. And a shout-out to Stuart, who is in a band. You might have heard them before, Crystal Teardrop. They're back playing live gigs again, and almost most of the band are from the Midlands and are mostly Stoke supporters. Stuart's from Falkirk, and he now lives in Leicester. I think he was up a couple of weeks ago for one of the games. I saw a picture of him with a Falkirk Daft Venom. But yeah, the Crystal Teardrop new album drops on the 2nd of May, and I've got a big album launch gig in London, so... Stuart's not going to make it to the game. He's launching an album down in London for that, and I'm sure like all of us will be absolutely shouting and constantly refreshing his phone while he checks, while he's playing this gig, he'll be checking his phone, I'm pretty sure. But they are doing their debut Scottish gig at Day at the Dobby at the end of May in Larbert as well. That's brilliant. Day at the Dobby, I've been down loads of times at the Dobby Hall. It's a great day out, loads of bands on, good beer, good drinks, and just it's really good for tickets as well. So if you can buy tickets, I believe they are on sale. If you type in Dobby on Facebook, you can get your tickets from there. I think you can get them from that record shop on the high street whose name has just evaded me. There's a really good record shop on the high street. What, not sleeves? Jesus Christ, showing your age. Silver Machine Records. Silver Machine Records, you can get that. But aye, it's happening at the Dobby Hall on the really, really soon, end of May. I'm just getting the actual date for it as well. It's coming up. Let it go.
Is it 24th or something like that? I've got in my head.
Yeah, 24th of May. Pictish Tale are doing Soul's Crystal Teardrop. Talking about Ray, Social Dancing were really, really good. They're all playing down there. So 24th of May, date the Dobby, get yourself down there and check out. Hopefully, Stuart will be there with the band. Hopefully he'll be there and not, you know, in a ditch somewhere crying, like we might all be. So yeah, get down to date the Dobby and shout out to Stuart, and hopefully it's all good. Hopefully it's all good for you. Right, listen, it's time to talk more news now. And PFA Player of the Year nominees came out. We've given our Falkirk Daft nominees, but good to see a couple of bands in the PFA list, Ross.
Yep, so this is the shortlist for the actual Player of the Year from the Team of the Year. Not surprised Calvin and Brad got in there. A little bit surprised Liam didn't make it, to be honest. Obviously, there was another Henderson in there.
Strange that he won Falkirk Player of the Year, but then he's not in the actual list of nominees. But it's voted for by the players, to be fair.
It is. So these are, I assume, these are the four players who had the most votes out of...
But, I don't know, because Jay Henderson didn't make the Team of the Year.
All right, it's not that then. Okay, yeah, so yeah. That's not how they do it. Robbie Muirhead, again, not surprised. I know there was a bit of chat on social media over the weekend, people saying, regardless of what happens this Friday, that we should try and get Robbie Muirhead into a Falkirk shirt. And it's hard to argue when you look at his goal contributions and goals scored in the championship this year. I think 23, is it now?
Wouldn't mind Robbie Muirhead coming to Falkirk, to be honest with you. That'd be a good one. But yeah, and that was well done to Calvin and Brad. I've actually been invited to the PFAs. Woo!
Through work?
I've actually been invited to the PFAs next Sunday, but I think it'll all depend how the weekend goes, I'll be honest with you, if I can make it along or not. I don't think I could drag it.
See, if Friday night goes as well as we hope, that would be a belter of a Friday night. You've then got Saturday afternoon / evening covered, and then Sunday night at the PFA.
And I'm working on the Old Firm on. I'm working on the radio on the Old Firm on Sunday afternoon. I'd be a broken man. But we'll wait to see how that goes. But yeah, good luck to Calvin and Brad down there next Sunday. Right, okay, let's get into the game. Put it off long enough, and we're going to do it with our boss, our gaffer, the man that puts the money into the show. We'll see him on Friday. It is Behind the Walls, big boss. It's Brian Flynn.
Hello, boys.
Nice to see you.
How you doing? All right.
Good. Well, you see.
Have a good weekend apart from Friday.
How you doing? All right. We're getting there, Brian. We're going through the stages of grief. Welcome to group therapy with Ross and John. We're going to get to all off our chest in the next wee while as we discuss the game against Thistle. But first of all, Brian, we need to know. And do you know what? I've never asked you about this. How you end up supporting Falkirk, and you know, obviously. What was your first game in memory?
Well, it comes down to my dad, actually. I was working out the other day. It's close to 60 years since I went to my first Falkirk match, and that's probably up there with a lot of the people of my vintage. But I remember him I can't remember which game it was, but I remember him taking me to Brockville and lifting me over the turnstile. And I remember being left myself, he must have gone to the toilet or something, and watching Ian Hunter playing left back. Now that must be 67 or 68, something like that. And he was one of my sort of heroes. I always wanted to be a left back, although I was on the left sided. And Stuart Rennie in the goal, and then of course the great 1970 team. I remember well with Fergie and these guys, George Miller and George Gibson and all that. So that was just my first memories. I remember going to an away game at Morton, getting my first scarf off of one of my dad's pals. And getting beat 4-1 and coming back in absolute bits. I was in tears. So, I mean, that was, I don't know what year that was, but it was down at the old tail of the bank, which hasn't changed much in that.
I was about to say, I bet Capello has not changed since.
No.
No. So, yeah, it was raining.
No, of course it was. It always is. Always is. Right, we've been asking all season, however, Brian, what's your most disappointing player that you've seen in a Falkirk jersey? Have you got a thought on that?
Well, I've seen a few. I'm good pals with Alec Totten. He comes in and has a coffee still, even though he's now retired. And we often talk about some of the poor players from the past. He talks about Willie Herd, being completely uncoachable and couldn't wait to get rid of him. But the big one for me was Harry Kinnear. I don't know if anybody, any of you guys remember Harry, but almost hopeless big centre forward, a big dumpling, you know. And he just never really did anything. He just ran about like Dafty. it was largely hopeless. So, but I mean, there's a few, obviously, the Hartley era threw up a few. I mean, there's been Joe Torrellano, has been mentioned before, and guys like that. And obviously, Leo Fazan is still up there as the worst goalkeeper we've ever had as well. So, there's been a few.
I know, there has been. Not so many in the current team, right enough. And,
definitely, yeah.
Let's talk about the game on Friday evening. It was Partick Thistle 2, Falkirk 1. A couple of changes, obviously, 2 enforced, 1 change came in. We knew the situation. Sean Mackey, obviously suspended after his red card against Raith. Cole Donaldson, looks that that's him kicked his last ball, as far as I'm aware. He's going to get an op, which has been overdue. So that's with him out. And then Gary Oliver, Ross McKeever came in for him with obviously Tom Lang and Leon McCann coming in for the other two as well. Good to see, obviously, huge crowds turned up, you know, potential chance to win the championship. 1,900 in the way end, massive crowd for it, and it was on the telly as well. So that was great to see. Ross, coming to you first on the team selection. Is that the team you would have went out with? There was a lot of chat about Hendel maybe moving back into midfield.
There was a bit of chat about that, but no, I would have kept it as Spencer and Dylan, who I thought in the first half, and until he went off, actually, I thought the pair of them did very, very well again on Friday night. Dylan seems to be back to his best, in my opinion, since he came back after that little bit of an injury he had. Mm. So no, I think the centre midfield pairing looks strong as ever. I'm delighted to see Leon back, because there was loads of chat with Lee. He's not even been in the squad the last few weeks, so would he be back? So it was great to see him.
He was on paternity because he's just had the weigh-in.
I read that as well. I don't know how accurate that is. Surely, like,
it's a footballer.
I know. He probably got some time because it makes sense, isn't it? But I'd be shocked if he hadn't like trained and stuff for a couple of weeks. It certainly didn't look like he had. So it was great to see him there too. The only one I thought Luke Graham might have came in as the centre half pairing with Hendo, to be honest. But he didn't get on again, which is it's obviously there's a lot of chat there about Luke Graham, isn't there, about why he's been brought back to not really play much football. But that was probably the only question mark I thought at the start.
Our strongest defensive lineup of the season was Luke and Hendo with Luke playing on the right, bizarrely, in a partnership with Vic Keelan. And I think that I would go back to that, but I mean, can he do that now? I mean, I genuinely think missed call. His leadership, maybe not necessarily, you know, his athleticism, because he's been clearly playing on injury for some time, but his leadership on the park, just talking players through the game. And I wonder if McGlynn's kind of had a wee fallout with Graham or something, because he's not getting played. You know, you think, well, why did you bring the back? That's what I'd be saying.
Yeah.
Gaffer, you know, why did you bring the back?
I think he was brought back in the perspective that Tom wasn't going to hit the ground running like he did. And, you know, we'll talk about the goal in a minute, actually. But I don't think Tom had his greatest game in a Falkirk jersey on Friday night. But Luke, like you say, Hendo and Luke, the one thing I would say again is just Henderson in midfield, just to give that bit of dig and that bit of oomph in midfield. I actually would have potentially brought Luke in at centre half and put Hendo in the midfield and drop Tate off, because I don't think Tate was brilliant against Raith Rovers last week either. But I mean, I'll be interested to see what happens. I thought Leon came back in. I thought he looked really good.
Yeah,
it looked really, really good. Ross, it just didn't work. I don't know if he wasn't getting serves, but I don't think Ross really had a great game on Friday night. Sorry,
I thought he had a few nice moments. I mean, his chest lay off for Arfield for the goal was just sublime. That was absolutely beautiful. He's a clever footballer, you know, and clearly it'll take him games to get back into it. We're running out of games, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I thought he did okay.
Yeah, but I'm surprised it was Ross instead of Barney Ross.
Do you know, I don't know. Barney brings obviously a lot more physicality and energy just now, I think, because I don't think Ross is completely fit. But he is an experienced guy, and I think that's maybe where McGlynn's going at this towards the end of the season. And that's maybe the reason why Tam is played over Luke from an experience perspective. Yeah. Is that why Ross McKeever's maybe playing in front of others as well? Barney, listen, everybody knows the Gary Oliver, Barney, Ross, we all know what they can bring to the team, and they're all gonna get on, right? I actually thought in the first half, I thought it worked what we were doing. And especially that last 10, 15 minutes, had we just came out, I'll not jump too far ahead, but had we did that from the off in the second half, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about a loss. I genuinely don't. I don't know what conversation happened at halftime, but it was the wrong one.
Yeah. And it wasn't a great start from Falkirk either. It's like, obviously, we're used to seeing us play out from the back. And you just wait, because you see it happen so many times down south. You see it happen in the Scottish Premiership and it was always bound to happen where the press catches you and it caught out between Nicky and Tom, between the two of them. It caught them out on Friday night for that first goal. Because you do see it, and that's the problem, that if you play that way of knocking about and playing it out from the back, you're always going to run that risk, especially if you've got a high press like Thistle had. And absolutely, they could tell, they read it, you know, they knew what was coming from Falkirk, and, you know, fair play to them. They read it, they pressed, they nicked it from Tom, and there's Brian Graham, obviously, and he's not going to miss for there.
No, he's not going to miss from there at all. That's his range, isn't it? See, when you watch it back, and I've watched it back a few times, the Thistle players, as you said, John, were that high press. They were actually at the edge of the box. I know we're confident playing out for the back.
But when they're on the edge of the box, just...
When they're on the edge of the box, why are we putting Keelan and Tam under that pressure? And I'm not going to sit here and slag Nicky off, because the instruction will be to play out from the back, right? Nicky's not choosing to play out for the back or looting it along. They'll be told to try and play up from the back of the thing. But when the forward line is so high, that's a frustration for me, because that was just a disaster waiting to happen in that moment.
Yeah. Graham is a proper poacher as well. He sees opportunities, you know, before they happen. And I thought Keelan's ball to Tom wasn't it the greatest when I saw it in real time. But then Tom's touch is terrible when it gets away from him, but it doesn't it? And then it's I don't know what the answer is to that. Get it down the touchline. For me, playing up to your front man straight away.
I think that would have been in retrospect, I think Keelan playing it down the line, and because he didn't actually have a player right on him. There was a 10-yard sort of space there. And I think that's why initially you see Tom Lang going absolutely mental at Keelan. And at the time I thought, well, listen, Tom, it was your bad touch. But actually, when you look back at it, Keelan had the time and space to get it down the line. So
I think it's about reading the room and it's just picking your moments of when to do that. Because I say, like, you know, people know what Falkirk are going to do and how Falkirk are going to play, and we're going to try and play out from the back and see Brad Spencer dropping into that hole and playing from there. I mean, Brad didn't have much opportunity to do that, I think, on Friday night, but you've got to read the room a wee bit and to go, right, if that's not on, just push everyone out and let's just lob it up to McKeever and see if we can feed off of that. But yeah, no, not a great goal to lose. And it is the first kind of, I would say, the first kind of error. Yeah, we've had a few errors, I think, but a goal this season, I can't think of many that we've brought upon ourselves like that. Honestly, can't think of any, really. No. And I'm sure people point out we've done it loads of times, but I don't think that's one of the only goals I can think we've just brought that upon ourselves there. But yeah, big chance to equalise. I thought it was miles offside was Calvin Miller. Was some really nice play. Calvin Miller was onside, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he's on. Dylan Tate screaming for it in the middle, and Calvin misses the chance. Ross, that would have been a big chance to go on one at that point.
It was. I like you. I thought, oh, that must have been offside. But when you watch it back on the BBC, from their camera, the right back is clearly playing him on. Listen, it's a tough one, because see, if there's a player who you want on the ball, running in on goal, it's Calvin Miller, because his success rate at finding the bottom of the corner is pretty high. However, you can also appreciate why Dylan was absolutely going to spear at him as well. It's a tough one, because if he got that early goal, who knows how the rest of that half would have went. Because we did have the momentum. There wasn't a lot of chances for Thistle. In fact, I think they only had two chances in the full game, and they scored for both. So, yeah, a frustrating miss, but I can understand why Calvin went for it.
Yeah. Red cards then didn't, was, you know, a game-changing red card, which we didn't take advantage of, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But Stuart Bannigan, I think Brian was very lucky that it was only a yellow for that first challenge when you look it back at it.
Yeah. They were both yellow cards, and therefore it was a sending off. So I thought it was one of those the referee could probably, with the second one, say, you know, just watch what you're doing kind of thing. It looked more accidental than anything else. But say, hey, we'll take it. But you rightly say, we didn't capitalise on it at all. Not like when Sean went off 2 weeks before, the referee just went for the jugular. We didn't do that. Yeah. We didn't make hay and go 3 or 4-1 up. I reckon if we'd gone in 2-1 ahead, we'd have won the game.
You had to
score again before half time.
Because
they got in and got regrouped, didn't they?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The Bannigan red card, Ross, I thought actually the referee looked at me. It was one of those ones from the ref that he's been a bit of a shite bag. Realised he probably should have given him a red for the first challenge and then just looked for an excuse to get him off the park.
The first one was horrible. It was horrible. Certainly the worst of the two. I agree with Brian. The second one is probably, sometimes if that's a first offence, that's maybe a talking to. But the trouble the ref, I suppose, had done is Bannigan had also made a couple of fouls prior to the actual first booking. So it was that series of challenges that's probably put him in the ref's mind and book as well. But yeah, I agree. I think the first one, you've seen them giving us a red card. I thought it was very cute because I noticed as soon as he got booked, I don't know if you noticed this, you guys will notice this as well, but Dylan almost went straight for Bannigan in terms of like, I'm going to shield the ball against you any opportunity I get, because you know what Dylan's like, he's brilliant at
shielding
the ball, being very cute with it as well, and he was the best player in my opinion to be doing that. And obviously that wasn't the scenario with the second booking. It was he's lashed out, it's a lunge, so it could have been any player, but a deserved red card between the two.
And not actually the first, obviously Thistle had previous this season with both Brian Graham. Was it Ben Stanway went off at the start of the season when we played them? And at that point, thinking 10 men, right, Falkirk, this is your time. And as we pushed at that point, we really did push, and the goal came. And obviously it was Scott Arfield. We put a lot of pressure in that box, and there was a lot of pressure coming. Just think it's a matter of time till the goal came. And obviously it was a combination, McCann, McKeever, and then an absolute great finish, as we've seen since Scott Arfield's come back, Ross. Just a great finish, a composed and professional finish.
Beautiful, yeah, beautiful finish. And as Brian said earlier on, what a lovely wee chest down for Ross McKeever to have the awareness to do that as well. Obviously, Scotty was really unlucky just a couple of minutes before. He had a good strike save by David Mitchell that went over the bar. So he sensed it was coming, John. As you said, that momentum was with us. But a brilliant, brilliant strike. And I tell you one thing. See, obviously ran over towards the crowd. I can't even remember looking at it. I just remember legs and arms and everything in that stand. It was a proper celebration at that goal. Because I think we all felt that's a big moment.
That was a huge moment, Brian. But as you said, we didn't really capitalise upon it and keep that momentum from the goal going and try and get in that second before half time.
No, it was poor. We didn't really execute at that point. Mm-hmm. I thought, let's throw a few extra men forward, try and get on the score sheet again. I mean, there was a couple of chances to do so, but the fact that they got in 1-1 would have been a major boost for them. They'd have been in that dressing room going, you know, we've done well to get there. And of course, their manager had a chance to sit and say, right, this is the way we're going to play it. And we couldn't do it in the round in the second half. It was poor.
In fairness to Thistle, they played very well against, as a 10 against the 11. I thought they came out, they organised really well. We didn't get in about them. They just went really good banks of four, you know, defended really well. And we just couldn't get in amongst it. I mean, and I think this is the problem with what we've seen from Falkirk, is we're just a bit toothless up front. You know, we've relied on Arfield, we've relied on Ethan Ross, Calvin Miller, getting the goals for us, but we've not had that focal point, that number 9. Now, Eamon Brophy was probably brought in as that ingredient that we were missing, but he's just MIA. I mean, like, he's just, what he's touched, he's been on, I think he's had 2 appearances. Am I right in saying that?
Apparently, he's injured his other quad and his left leg.
It's just been horrible.
I think when he got injured the first time around, I'd have been sending him back. I'd been sending Ross County, like, guys, this isn't working. There's no chance of him getting fit enough to play in this final push. Which is what you're about to say, what you want.
I know, and it that has been our problem and our downfall, I think, just not having that recognised number 9. We saw Brian Graham, Brian Graham, what he does for Thistle, and you look at, I guess, Ayr have got Maine and Oakley, Livingston, Muirhead's been that kind of talisman for them this season, big Teddy Inge as well, but we've not had that, and I hope it doesn't, but I hope that's not what's going to lead to our downfall, Ross.
Well, yeah, we've shared the goals about, haven't we? So obviously Brad's knocked on a few, as you said, Scott Arfield and Calvin and Ethan's got a couple, Alfie's had a 4 or 5 as well. It's just that it's been more spread about than that, but I think you're right. I think whether next season, whatever league we're in, I do think we need to have a player who's capable of getting 15 to 20 goals and putting it in the back of the net, because that really is a game changer at times.
Well, To be fair, Ross, it looks like we're going to win. If we're going to win the league, it's going to potentially be on goal difference. So we'll have scored a lot more.
Oh no, we have. It's definitely has been. No, I totally agree.
But you're right. We've not had a striker banging them in week out, getting two or three every couple of weeks. That has been a definite problem for us.
I'm saying all that, and in saying that, I don't think even if we had a recognised big number 9 on that park, we would have got, because we just seemed to run out of ideas. We didn't seem to, it was that whole horseshoe pass, we don't know where to go, we didn't get enough balls into the box, we didn't challenge them enough, I don't think, in that second half, when they're down to 10 men,
I thought we wasted a lot of balls into the box on Friday night. There were too many were either overhit or not beating the first man.
Very few got in on the end of anything in the box. We got how many touches we have in the box? Very few. But you say that two banks of four, and they just shaped up and defended against us, and we couldn't break them down.
Yeah. I thought I was disappointed with the subs on Friday, and I don't mean as in the impact they made when they came on. I mean as in I thought the subs were like, unless Scott Arfield is injured, why we're taking a man of his experience off the park?
Well, you saw his face. Well, the BBC cameras caught his face. And looking absolutely livid at it. I don't think it's going to be a fitness thing, because he's now up to speed. You could understand that at the start, maybe it's a fitness thing, but surely, God, now, Scott Arfield should be on that park as long as he possibly can, because he's a match winner. It's like Callum Morrison was for us as well. He's a match winner. He'll get you goals. You saw the equaliser came from him. You've saw it at Morton. You saw it against Thistle previously. And it's like, you need to keep Scott Arfield on that park, not only for his match winning ability, but also because he will experience and he'll lead that team through situations like that, especially when you don't have Donaldson in the park.
Yeah, would there be a case of bringing him off the bench and starting with Nisbet, or just somebody that's going to buzz about and put the miles in, tire the opposition out, and then bring Scotty off the bench as an impact player, to get you the winning goal?
Maybe. Maybe it was even like, obviously we assume Leon maybe just ran out a bit of steam because he came off, but again I was confused with the like Keelan from right back to left back Miller Thompson over to right back. I didn't understand the subs on Friday night.
Miller Thompson, like, I know he was one of the top, he was a real good player for Dundee United in this league last season, but I think there's been maybe one glimpse we've seen of Miller Thompson showing up, but like the last 2 weeks he's been rotten. He's not the sub to go in. I really hope we're not in this Sam Long situation where we have to there's certain games he has to play, because off the bench, there's probably another option you get, but playing him, like, I thought it was a bit madness playing him at right back and moving Keelan Adams over. And I mean, it might have been an injury situation, but then why not bring on Luke and get a bit more physicality in there at left back, because he's played look there before. But we've got maybe the chance to throw it into the box a bit more when he's there. But yeah, it was strange. There was some strange subs, I thought, and I'm just like, I mean, and obviously if he rolls the dice and it pays off, it's great. You know, Alfie, I thought maybe should have been on a bit earlier as well. Before we talk about Alfie, I thought we should have had a penalty. I saw it back. If VAR was in place that game, we'd have had a penalty. The Spencer shot from range, and the Thistle players put hands out like that, and it's hard to come off it. You know, and I think in a VAR situation, that's a definite penalty.
Because they watch it slowed down, don't they? It's not like in real time. I haven't watched it that instant, or the one at goal. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. But yeah, you're right. I think should have had it in real time at the game. Everybody would be shouting for it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, John, I agree with you both. I think it probably would have been given as a penalty for handball. What was probably a little bit more worrying as well was that happened in about the 79th or 80th minute. We had done nothing really until then. And see when I was looking back at the Falkirk highlights, firstly, right, I thought, have they missed something? Like, I was trying to rack my brain back to a half chance or something. And then I watched Thistle's highlight package as well. There was nothing happened until the 80th minute when Brad Spencer had that. Like, it was just, as you said, Brian, earlier, the defensive setup of Thistle worked very, very well. They had no interest in winning the game. They just wanted to get away with the point. And then, obviously, there's the shout for the penalty. Alfie situation, which I still can't believe that's a red card.
If it goes any other way, it's a foul. Actually, you watched before it. It's a foul actually on Alfie. Now he's over lunged and he's got the ball. And we'll appeal that and win that easy. And it's the second time this season that Falkirk have been done by a decision like that. Because if we stay with 11 men in the park, we're fine. We either see out the game and get a point, which I probably think was probably the more likely, or you know we go on to win it. Because if we had 11 against 10, we go on either see the point out, which again in the grand scheme of things would it have made a difference having the point? No. You can afford for Livy to draw against this. Whole
no, thing. A point was no good to us at all. As you rightly say, we needed to go there and win to make it mathematically pretty sound that we were going to win it, but we didn't. And here we go on again. What was it you're calling it? Strike three.
This is strike three or dirty strike three. Yeah, but I felt really sorry for Alfie. You could see how upset he was, and like, I'm quite rightly so. It's like, you know, it was the Thistle players that got him sent off.
Yes,
effectively the Thistle player, and it was never a sending off. If anything, he actually won the ball.
It was a perfectly good tackle. That's the problem. That's the problem. Somebody's forced to make a decision.
I genuinely thought the referee was pretty poor again, Matthew McDermott. I thought he was really, really poor. And
he's good previous as well. And we're not just saying this from a Falkirk perspective. Like, the guy's just hopeless anyway.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of supporters complaining about Matthew McDermott. He's not a great referee at all. But yeah, completely wrong decision. And again, like I say, we either get the point or we go on to win that game with Alfie in the park. I felt really, really sorry because Alfie's dad was in front of me. I met him at half time. Got a wee picture with him. I was like, Alfie's dad. So he was over to see the game, and you could just feel pain from Alfie. And it will be, listen, the club will appeal it, presumably, and it will be overturned. So
there's definitely been appeal. But I messaged Jamie and he says, we will appeal it, and it's never a red.
Absolutely not. So it went from bad to worse at that point, last minute of the game. And let's talk about Falkirk's game management. It was a silly foul for Gary Oliver to give away in the first place. Free kick, O'Reilly back across words, and Abladi, who came off the bench and actually scored against us the last time when we played Thistle at home, in the first game he scored as well. But like a looping header, I thought it was offside, but I've actually seen pictures. It was just on. Brad's just played him on, but just fucking weak as shit. Really is just poor and just weak and a terrible goal to give away.
Do we still defend zonally at these set pieces? Because I just don't understand that. Why are we defending areas rather than actual players?
You know, don't get me started. But it's just, it's our Achilles heel. It really is set pieces and teams know that. There needs to be a rule that don't give away corners, don't give away set pieces, or you'll get fined, because it's the only way to stop, because it's a really Achilles heel and it needs to get sorted out. And you don't get me started on zonal marking, just honestly. But like, it's just it was a terrible goal to give away, and especially at that point in the game, you think, right, okay, it's a point, fine, not happy with it, you know, we're not getting the night we wanted, but I'll take a point, just because Thistleaway is always a difficult game, do you know what I mean? Thistleaway, Ayr United was going to be a difficult game, Thistle was going to be a difficult game, yeah. The Wraith one's disappointing, but that was our own doing, you know, if Sean Mackey stayed in the park, we go on to win that match. And that's what I think you've got to. But it is going back to, you look at the last results. So Ayr, we switched off against Ayr. We switched off against Livingston. We switched off. Who else did we switch off again? Wraith Rovers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that mentality issue. And I think we'll hear from John McGuinn in a minute about the mentality, but it's just that switch off. Just see this out, boys. Come on.
That's only really in the past month or so. We started the quarter like a train. I think we won the first four or five. And then the wheels have just come off, and we've dipped at exactly the wrong time. You know, kind of run to the championship, and you know, I don't know what's caused it. Whether there's a mentality problem, is the dressing room, you know, starting to concern themselves about, you know, because I know it's Big Hendo's interview. He said, when asked, you know, what you've achieved this season has been great, and he was like, well, hang on a minute, if we lose this, we're going to go down as the biggest bottlers in history at this club. So he says, we've not achieved anything.
Yeah.
I liked his interview, actually.
I did, very honest.
Yeah, I was.
I've not watched any of the interviews. Couldn't bear myself, like Brian said, I couldn't bear myself to watch any of the interviews. Yeah. But for the podcast,
I actually think Liam's is, and it's no disrespect to John, I think Liam's is probably the more insightful to watch today when we're looking at the interview, because I think John's very honest about it. It's a disappointing night. We didn't play well in parts. We didn't do enough up in the forward areas. Didn't concentrate defensively, individual errors. Whereas Liam was probably a bit more honest in terms of how the players are actually feeling in the dressing room. And I'm glad they are. That's because that's exactly how we don't want to be seen as these bottlers either. So I'm glad he feels like that. And I'm glad that's the feeling in the changing room.
Well, let's hear about it on that then. Let's hear what Liam Henderson had to say after the game.
Liam, another difficult one to take tonight. How would you sum that one up?
Start the game slow, concede a goal. I thought our response was really well to conceding the goal. Thought we were really dominant. Should have probably been up in the first and going into half time. Had chances there to kind of take that lead. Obviously, we don't do that. Mission at half time was pretty much do the same as the first half, bar them scoring. Second half, we didn't create anything. I don't think we had a shot on target. We're chucking some hopeful balls in. Nobody really taking the scruff of the game, showing a bit of balls. And then the Achilles heel, obviously conceding a late goal, it's just no good enough. As a team, everyone in there knows what we've kind of had, and if you look at the positives now, try and look at the positives somehow. It's still in our hands, still got a game to go. Hamlin at home, we need to just, well, it's going to be a sore one to try and forget this, and go again next week and just play like we know we can, and shut up shop at the back and win the game. It's still in our hands, like I said, and positives again, trying to look at the positives. The fans have been different class, like the backing from the fans is incredible. I don't know how many was there tonight, but it was louder than the fans here, it was outstanding. So only can apologise to them, because it's been different class.
Obviously you guys have been incredible all season. Getting to the business end now, what do you think it is that's maybe causing some of these wobbles?
I don't know. A wee bit of nerves creeping in, a wee bit of anxiety, a wee bit of anxiousness. We've got quite a young squad, so maybe that's part of it. Individually and collectively, so we just need to work on these little mistakes that we're caught individually and go next week and really, sorry swearing, put the foot to the floor and just go like full out. And when we're on the pitch, relax. Don't like just relax, play, play what we're good at, do what we're good at. Like the first half, when once we went behind, we were flying, we were living men, and we actually probably didn't really go well for us when they went 10 men because it was harder to break down. So positive as a game, like I'm saying, we're still in our hands, so yeah.
I think regardless what happens this season, though, I think you guys can be proud of what you've achieved. I don't think many people thought you would actually be in this situation come this point of the season.
I know, I want to disagree with Adam. It's like we've been 11 points clear 5 weeks ago, and like this league should be done. If we don't do this, we'll be known for a long time to come for bottle jobs. So nobody wants that in there. Not one person, not you, management staff. Nobody wants that. So. And I get what you're saying, but need to win next week.
Simple as, need to win next week.
Listen, I think Liam does absolutely 100% need to. I'm glad we played that, actually, because, yeah, my worry is just the team are spooked, the players are spooked, and they need to, I don't know how mentally you get rid, because we're all the same. We're all feeling what Liam's feeling. We all, after that game on Friday night, we're all at exactly that point. We're all like that on Saturday. We're starting to get to the Sunday now. We're starting to get over it and look towards and start to build the confidence. And the players need to do that. I don't know how they do it. They just need to get, they need to get someone in there and just mentally prepare themselves for Friday. The nervous, it needs to come from the stands as well. Because see if we, if we're getting to the point where, let's just say an example, Livingston get an early goal, you'll start to feel the nerves right across that stadium on Friday. And we just need to get in and do our own game and play our own game and be confident in what we do. Like Liam says, you know, get the ball into midfield, do what we do really well and we've done all season, and just get rid of this mental fatigue. Let's just get in there, play our game. And if we do that, two or three goals in that first half, the whole thing rises up.
I think an early goal is absolutely crucial for us, obviously, yep. Not anybody else. And you know, you're right. And if Partick score, you get a wee boost from that as well. You know, so if we can turn the tables and get that confidence back, I think it's that's the way it has to happen. If it goes the other way, then they'll crumble. You know, it's just because that you rightly say they look like as nervous as kittens, defending set pieces, going into final. Stretches of games when they were 1-0.
We can't be going at the final stretch of the game at 2-1, I'll tell you that much, or 1-0. No way. Absolutely no way. We need to do a Montrose here, ladies and gentlemen. We just
need to. I've been saying that for weeks. Why are we all coming out and just blowing teams away at the moment? Because that was what we did that day. The brakes came off. We knew Hamilton had lost or drawn or whatever it was. And they just went and played with freedom. It was brilliant to watch. You know, and we're the best team in the league. Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. The worrying thing, obviously, from our perspective, and we've not mentioned it, and we mentioned it when we talked about the Hamilton game coming up, is that Hamilton obviously have that appeal going in this week, and they might have something to play for. All they need is 5 points to be taken off that appeal, and they could potentially, it's a long shot, even if they were to beat us and Airdrie were to lose. If it's 5 points, they can get into that playoff place and put Airdrie down. But there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes. And I don't think, from what I'm hearing, I don't think that appeal will be successful. From what I'm hearing, I don't think the SFA or the SPFL have handed that out appeal lightly. I think it's an open and shut case. So
it was originally meant to be 6 points, and they upped it to 15. So they're going to look stupid now if they turn around.
If they reduce it, yeah, agreed.
Fix it again,
Totally agree.
I think it could even go up the way.
So hopefully it goes Falkirk's way in that respect. But, you know, they might want to come out and have something to prove, but we'll talk about Hamilton just in a bit. But let's hear what you guys are saying to Friday night. Ali kicks us off, say, why do we lose so many late goals? We seem to lose something when Arfield goes off, which I don't think should have happened.
A fair point. Martin says a few of our attackers need to have a good look in the mirror. Poor decisions when dominant and then lapses at the back have come home to roost. We've a cup final to come to on Friday now. See, I keep seeing people saying, it's a cup final. We're shout at cup finals. Why are we wanting to look at it as a cup final?
Don't exactly.
Don't look at it as a cup final.
It's a league game. It's a league game.
Day one of a league.
Yeah. Lack of professionalism to defend our out games is a disgrace, says Vicky. Decision to take off Arfield was crazy. If we can predict he's off every game at 60 minutes, it's a sure thing opposition teams can do as well. Unacceptable to not make our extra man count. Lack of experience striker shows. Yeah.
Craig says, don't know what was worse, the referee, the pitch, or our second half performance.
Take your pick. Take your pick, Craig. Grant says, if we appeal Alfie's Reds and it gets rescinded, that'll be twice this season it's happened in games we've lost. That's not acceptable.
That to me, I know people hate VAR, right? And I'm sure we may hate it eventually.
Oh, we hated it at the Cup semi-final a couple of seasons ago.
But see if it leads to correct outcomes. That maybe is the best thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
AK says, still think we'll be okay. However, we didn't come away with all 3 points last night. It's baffling. Not even a foul, never mind a red, and it will be overturned, surely. We'd have taken a win against Accies on the last day to win the league all day long. Arfield to finish the match, however, is a must.
Everybody's saying that. Paul says, crap referee, massive time wasting by the Partick goalie. Never a red card for Alfie, penalty not given. That said, we struggled to create anything in that second half. Should have been well ahead before the winner. Deep breaths, go again Friday, at least we know what's needed.
It's true. Phil says, beat Hamilton and it's ours. Keep it simple, play our game and get it done.
Absolutely, 100%. And John Spencer, legend of the game, Scotland international, played for Chelsea and obviously the dad of Brad Spencer. He's actually got in touch, said, one thing I've loved and admired about this club as a whole over the last 18 months is the way the club sticks together and the backing the fans have given these players and the lift at times when needed. Come Friday, that backing, that positivity is needed from the first to the 90th minute. Come on, you Bairns. Well said, John. Absolutely well said. It's just tough. It's really tough, and it's going to be a tough week of no sleep. You're right again. Brian's got insomnia at the best of times. He's going to be up all week for this. But yeah, it's going to be hopefully a big party and behind the wall. And just while Brian's on, actually, we might as well do the sponsor read for Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. The Falkirk Daft Venom. There's exciting news about that, Brian. What can you reveal? What's happening on Friday with the Falkirk Daft Venom?
Well, we're mass producing. And so it's going to be served on draft, potentially in the garden, depending on how the weather is. It's going to be quite a nice night, I think. 18 degrees, yep. And no rain. So, provided that happens, and we'll be doing a special deal on them. So, get yourself along to Bindle on Friday night, pre-match and post-match for your official Falkirk Daft Venoms. And it all depends on the result, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything depends on the result.
The party will fall flat if the right result goes against us. You know, we're not thinking along those lines. We are looking to have a big party all weekend.
So is the event now called Falkirk Draft Live?
Yes. No, the product is called Falkirk Draft.
It's been waiting a while to get that line in. But I know Falkirk Daft Venom is on draft this Friday night at Bindle, and there might be a special offer on it as well. Keep your eyes peeled for that. And like I say, it's going to be partying at the pub all weekend if we get the result we need on Friday. And if you want any details on what's going on, behindthewall.co.uk. All the buses presumably full for Friday.
Oh yeah. Well, I would say Stevie Beattie is going to be DJing after the match, regardless of the result again, because you might want to drown your sorrows. Hopefully not. So you guys are obviously you're taking up the 2 hours before it, and then Stevie's going to be on the decks after for the.
Well, if we get beat, if we get beat, is it like going to be Radiohead and stuff like that? We're all sitting there, sitting listening to the Smiths and the Black Cure. it'll be a top weekend in the pub if we get the result where we can, and hopefully for your pocket, Brian, it's for everyone around Falkirk.
I mean, we're really looking forward to that SPL feeling if we possibly can get back there. You know, I don't know if you remember it back in the day, but the pub was always three and four deep at the bar on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we'd like to get back to that.
Absolutely. And 100% it's going to happen. 100% it's going to happen. Right, gents, that's Falkirk Daft on the Falkirk Daft Venoms on draft is the news we all wanted to hear. That'll pick you up for Friday. Right, okay, let's go for a Falkirk Daft rated player for this game. Ross, kick off for you.
I was having a think, and it's between two players. Scott Arfield for his goal and contribution while he was on the park, or I'm also thinking he's been out in the wilderness for a wee while, and I thought he came on and did very, very well. So actually, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say Leon McCann.
Leon McCann gets it for Ross. Brian, who are you going for?
I was going to go Leon as well. I thought he was, but I'm down that line very, very well. He cramped up a wee bit towards the end because clearly he's not been getting much practice. But I thought he was excellent. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be dropping him for Friday night.
Yeah. So there you go, Leon McCann gets it. So there we go. I'll third you on Leon McCann, like you say, coming out from the cold and doing what he did. So well done, Leon. Spot on, Falkirk Daft rated player, and that's his first one of the season. So good to hear. Who's the Dafty?
You coming first?
Right, Brian, go for you first.
Got to be the referee. Got to be the referee.
Matthew McDermott's already got one Dafty already this season. So was it Matthew McDermott? I don't know if it was Matthew McDermott down at Ayr, was it? But he did something daft this season to Falkirk as well. So he's already got one. Ross, you going to go for him as well?
Yeah, I am. Because as you said, John, I think if we stay with 11 players on the park, I don't think we're losing.
Nah, so there you go, Matthew McDermott. That is your second Dafty of the year. I probably should put myself in for a Dafty nomination because I went back to the Woodside after the game and stayed in there for a couple of pints and did the karaoke. And a bar through of Thistle supporters. Do you know what song I sang?
What'd you do?
Five, get on up when you're down, baby. Take a good look around. You know, it's not much, but it's okay. Keep on moving now, anyway. I thought it was an uplifting song. So, Keep On Moving by Five is going to be my anthem if we go on to win this league.
We can add it to the playlist.
We'll get it on the playlist. You know, we can maybe have maybe at the end of Falkirk, maybe if we get back to the pub and we've won the league, or maybe, you know, we can maybe arrange a cat, Stevie Beattie, and I'll just grab a mic and we'll do a bit of Five, Keep On Moving on Friday night after the game. Let's make it happen. But anyway, it's a mantra for life. Right, okay, business is all done though, but we've got one more thing to do, Brian, and you know what it's going to be. It's Falkirk Daft versus.
Yeah, good for that. Go for it.
Here we go then. This is a cock. See, we have to let Brian win.
This is when I need to have Michael White in the room with me here, as opposed to.
We have to let Brian win because he's a sponsor. Good business sense draw, so that's my excuse if
it I think Brian's going to be in with a good shout tonight anyway, and I'll tell you why. So. The theme of the quiz today is a final day theme. Final day theme. So we're talking about games that have been the last game of the season. Okay. John, have you got something to write your answer down?
I'm looking round the room. My dry marker's disappeared. The wife's hidden it somewhere, so I'll have to go and grab a pen. Hold on.
Okay. He'll edit this bit.
I'm borrowing my wife's office, by the way. This is her office, so I'm sure they'd
tell me
what makes it a mess.
Excellent.
Right, I've got pen and paper.
You're good. Perfect. Okay, so gents, as we know, I will be asking the questions. It is a final day of the season theme. John, you will write down your answer, and Brian, you'll give us your answer verbally, but not until John's written his one down, okay? Perfect. So, question number one. What was the score on the final day of the season versus Meadowbank when we won the old First Division in May 1991? So, what was the score on the final day of the season versus Meadowbank when we won the old First Division in May 1991?
I'll tell you, I have no idea.
John, have you got something written down? You're not sure yet?
I've written down 2-0.
You've written down 2-0. Okay, Mr. Brian Flynn.
Man is supposed to shout mine out before he
can. Oh, shit, I am.
Yes, you were. Yeah, you were.
I'm going to say 2-0 as well.
You cheating bastard.
Are you sticking with that?
Yes.
Okay, you're both wrong. So it was 4-2.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, it was 4-2 that day.
Crawford Batty game.
Big Crawford Batty scored a double. Eddie May and Derek May Williams as well. There we go. So it's still 0-0. Okay, question number two. Our final game in season 1996-97 before the Scottish Cup final was against Morton at Brockville. But what was the score that day? So our final game in season 1996-97 before the Scottish Cup final was against Morton at Brockville. but what was the score that day?
Right, I've written some down. That's not right.
I'm going to say 2-1 Falkirk.
You're saying 2-1 Falkirk. John McAnally?
I've written 2-1 Morton. I think we got beat.
We didn't. We won it comfortably. It was 3-0 Falkirk.
Brilliant.
That day.
This is going well.
There might be too hard. Okay, you'll get this one. I'm sure you'll both get this one right, though. So question number three. So it's well known who scored the last ever goal at Brockville in 2003, but who scored the last two Falkirk goals that day? So it's very well known who scored the last goal at Brockville in 2003, but who scored the last two Falkirk goals that day? So, John, you write your answer down.
I'm going to say, well, Stuart Taylor was one of them.
Okay.
And Owen Coyle.
So you think it was Stuart Taylor with one and Owen Coyle with the other? John, what are you?
I've absolutely had a nightmare here, by the way. I've absolutely had a nightmare. I don't know why I thought Kevin Christie. I've also written down Stuart Taylor, but I don't know why I thought Kevin Christie. And I don't know why, because he was even playing for the team.
No, he wasn't that season.
I know.
Which one are you going for?
What's that?
What's your final answer? Is it Kevin or is it Stuart?
Stuart Taylor.
Stuart Taylor got both goals that day. So we'll give a point to Falkirk Daft there. So it's currently...
Oh, did Brian say Stuart Taylor?
I thought he only got one of them.
Owen Coyle didn't score that day, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's 1-0 so far. So question number four then. So we famously helped relegate Dunfermline in 2007 at East End Park on the last day of the season, which was dubbed the relegation party. But what was the final score that day? So we famously helped relegate Dunfermline in 2007 at East End Park, which was dubbed the relegation party. But what was the score that day?
I've got something written down. I'll wait for Brian to answer.
Was it 2-1 to Falkirk?
You're thinking 2-1 to Falkirk, Brian?
I've written 3-0 to Falkirk.
One of you is spot on.
That's not me.
John McAnally with 2 points there. Yeah,
Pedro Moutinho, Stokes, and...
Stokes?
Was it Jack Ross?
No. So Jack you Ross had Pedro Moutinho.
He's got the last one.
With an absolute belter.
Yeah.
Alan Gow.
Yeah.
Scored as well, and for the life of me, I forgot the third one.
Stevie Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. So, John, you will win. However, I will give question five, and in fact, I'll give you the tiebreaker as well because it's quite nice. So, our final question number five was our final game in season 2014-15 before the Scottish Cup final again versus Inverness was against Hibs. Oh, I've just given you the answer.
But I've cocked that one. Who was it against?
Yeah, it was him. Obviously. So I've cocked that one right up. Right, tiebreaker, I'll give you it anyway. So
I've won.
I know, but just for shits and giggles.
So 1993, when we
won the league versus Clydebank, what was the crowd that day? What was the crowd that day? So, John, you write something down.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3216.
3216.
8,500.
What have you put?
8,500.
I'm not going to go this depth to get a calculator, but the correct answer was 6,673.
I'm going to
John. We're both miles away.
There you go.
Well done, gents. Well, John, you can play the Champions League music.
Does that mean I get free drinks at the bar since I've beaten you, Brian?
Well, you've never bought a drink in the bar anyway, so...
When you guys came on as sponsorship, I thought all those years of ploughing money into Behind the Wall are coming through to fruition now. after the amount of money I have pissed up against the wall through drinking it Behind the Wall across the years.
I will buy you a drink on Friday. Don't worry about it.
Fabulous, I like to hear that. Hopefully,
give them the dregs at the draft.
Hopefully it's a celebratory drink. And by the way, we've got to announce as well, Behind the Wall, doesn't matter what league we're in, Behind the Wall are back on for our sponsors next season as well. And we thank you in the pub. Best pub, we always say, best pub in Falkirk, Behind the Wall. Loads of stuff always going on there. If you're looking to book an event, get involved. Go out for the fantastic food. Go and sample a Falkirk Daft Venom. Best pub in Falkirk. And we thank Behind the Wall for your sponsorship across this season. We're looking forward to next season, Brian.
Thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed listening to you. and you've added a new dimension to the week of a Falkirk fan in a good way. Thanks again.
Well, that's always good to hear as well. It's not a bad thing as usual. Brilliant. So, Brian, thanks for being the guest pundit. Chances to come on as guest pundit for next season will be available. Just pundit falkirkdaft.co.uk. That's all you have to do. Drop us a message and we'll hopefully get you on next season.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So here it comes. It comes down to the last game of the season. The last game, the last chance zone, as we said at the start of this podcast. And it's against our old friends from League One last season. It's Hamilton Accies, who we've had a bit of a light over the last couple of seasons. And you just hope that light continues to shine this Friday. They're obviously, at the moment, as we record this podcast, they're relegated to League One next season with a 15-point deduction. As we said, the appeal gets held on Thursday. If they get 5 points back, it gives them a chance. It gives them a chance because they'll then be up to 26 with Airdrie going to have to go and win. Well, even Airdrie could even drop points because they've got a better goal difference. So there's a 3-goal swing in it. So that's the worry. That's the worry. But we've only got to look after ourselves, Ross.
Yeah, we do. Regardless of what happens with Accies on Thursday, we know we can beat Hamilton Accies, right? So that's what we need to focus on. I don't really care what Hamilton Accies turn up on Friday, whether he plays the full squad, as in the first choice 11, strongest 11, or whether he puts the kids out. I don't really care. I just think we need to focus on ourselves, try and block out the noise from Livingston as well.
Yeah.
I know that's hard because the crowd will be checking their phones, etc. And I'm sure somebody on the bench will probably be checking their phone as well. But we really just need to try and block out the noise from there. Even if Thistle score, I know it's a big thing for if Thistle score, but we've seen enough Scottish football in the Championship to know that an early goal for any team in this league means nothing because it's what happens at the end of the game. Yeah. Like, look at Friday night, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean? So you can't trust anything until the game's done. So let's just look after ourselves, win the game of football, and hopefully that's enough. It should be enough. Winning the game should be enough, whether it's 1-0, 2-0, whatever, 3-1, that should be enough. I don't think goals will come into it. I know there's a bit of chat online about,
goals, people are kidding themselves on. If they think Livingston are going to go out and win 9-0, they've got
Thistle need to go to Livingston and get a win.
Yeah, this is the other side. I mean, I would have rather that Raith Rovers actually beat. I can't believe I've said rather Raith Rovers beat Morton there at the weekend. But they're still, you know, they've got 50 points. They can. They still. Thistle need to draw or win to guarantee fourth.
Yeah. I think they need to win because even if they drew against Livingston, granted that would be a phenomenal for us. But if they were to draw against Livingston. And Raith were to score a few goals against Queen's Park, they could find themselves out of the playoff position purely on goal difference.
Yeah.
So I think Thistle will need to go there and win.
Yeah, they do. They do. I don't worry. I will be encouraging my friend Mark Wilson to do just that. I messaged him on Saturday morning just going, bastard, pretty much just saying, bastards.
Yeah. Their boys are cheats.
I know. I'll hopefully catch up with Mark during the week and give him a still any given Sunday style Al Pacino speech to get a Thistle. But I don't think we need to worry about ourselves.
What we need to focus on.
Like I say, Hamilton out with it being deducted to 15 points have actually not been that bad in form. They picked up a wee bit. They've only got the two losses in the last six. Our form, as we know, it's out the window at the moment. Two wins in the last six for us as well, so we're kind of matching them on form. We've lost our last two. That's the first time, I think, this season in the league we've lost two games back-to-back.
Because we've always back, followed back with a big win, and this is we've not, obviously, in this thing.
Yeah, but like we said at the start, there's been a number of factors that went with. We wouldn't have lost that if Alfie hadn't got sent off. I truly believe that. The Sean Mackey thing would have won that game if Sean Mackey had stayed in the park. I mean, these are our sputs and maybes, of course, but, you know, we've been in points makers of our own downfall. Hopefully that's not going to be the case of Hamilton. Just keep the heat. No silly sending offs. No giving away stupid free kicks in dangerous areas or corners, because we know that's a, you know, for set piece or not. We've got a good run record against Hamlin, albeit the last time we were, you know, we came back and we drew the game 2-2 at their place. Yep. But at our place, we've been very good against them.
We have.
Over the last two seasons. So you just hope that comes into play. I'm sure John Rankin will be fighting tooth and nail. He still doesn't think we're relegated. So
saw that he's put fake tables up around the changing room, apparently.
Has he?
Yeah, as in like the alternate, the Quantum Leap league table. if they hadn't been docked 15 points.
I mean, they would be sitting in actually above Dunfermline if they hadn't been docked those points. But as I said before, I don't think they'll have much of a leg to stand on when it comes to the appeal. I really don't. But
no, I don't think so.
We'll wait and see. We'll just play our own game, worry about ourselves, and we'll see how it goes against Hamilton. It's a huge, huge game. I just, you know, it's one of the biggest games in my lifetime. And, you know, they back-to-back champions. And just it's massive. It's absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. And as we said, if we found ourselves in this position at the start of the season and we told that ourselves we're going to be potentially on the verge of winning the championship at home,
yeah,
on the last game of the season, you'd absolutely bit someone's arm off. And
no, you would
ask them, what drugs are you taking? Can I have some, please?
Yeah, you want to win it at home. Listen, I know we've been in a period where you just want to win it, and we are still in that position, but we are now in a position where we can win it at our own stadium. 7,500 Falkirk fans. There'll only be a couple of hundred there from Aki's. Let's just get this done and we can enjoy ourselves. Yes. We deserve to enjoy ourselves. We deserve all the success that this potentially could bring, because we've had enough shit over the last 5-6 years apart from last year.
Yeah. We just, for our own mental health and everything, can we just get 2 early goals, please, or 3 early goals, and just enjoy a party, or 4 or 5, and just enjoy a party in the second half? That would be great. I do not want to be going into that last 10 minutes with only being one goal up. No. I couldn't deal with it. I'd have to walk out the stadium and just go and find a dark corner to sit.
Just hide in the toilets for the last 15 minutes of the game.
Pretty much, I think so. But it all comes down to this. On Friday, Falkirk Stadium, be there, be square. We're doing Falkirk Daft Live before it. And yeah, here we go again. Hamilton versus Falkirk. Let's do it.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So we've had one of our sponsors on. We've also got to thank, obviously, our other sponsors, which, of course, are the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. We've told you about them all season. They've been a great support of the podcast, and we thank them for it. Ian and Doogie, Willie, we need to get them on as well. Maybe for the end of season review, we'll get the boys on, because it'll be in front, just ahead of the Lava Cup, which is coming to the stadium. More details on that in just a bit. But if you want to help your mental health, and we all need help with our mental health this week, ladies and gentlemen, get yourself down to the session with the TH. It's happening every Monday at Stadium 8 and Tuesday 7:30 to 8:30. Great bunch of lads. You'll make a great bunch of friends down there. And I can't talk about them high enough. We need to get down to a session, Ross.
We do, and I know we're going to go along to the Lava Cup as well when it's on. I'm looking forward to getting down that day too. And I think it's a great shout. Get the boys on for the end of season review, and that'll give them an opportunity to talk about the tournament upcoming. But also, hopefully, it would be a very enjoyable, light-hearted review of the season, because it's finished on a high, rather than having to wait until the playoffs are done. That would be hopeful as well.
God almighty. Don't even talk to me about playoffs. I just want this wrapped. You know, as much as I love doing the podcast, guys, and I love every single person that either watches this or listens to this, I just want to get it done so I can just enjoy the close season.
Have a break.
I don't want to be sitting in here talking about playoffs in a few weeks' time, that's for sure. But yeah, the Lava Cup is coming to the Falkirk Stadium in May. And we want to get as many Falkirk supporters down there, because teams from right across Europe coming to the Falkirk Stadium to see the guys in action, Ross. 24th of May, it's happening. Kick-off time's about 10:30, and then the game's around 30. And the Tricky Tree's Nottingham Forest are going to be there, Ross. Your other team.
They are. Yes, really happy that Forest are going to be there. And obviously a disappointing result for Forest today in the Cup semi-final. But hopefully Forest will finish. Actually, the last league game for the Premiership teams is that weekend. So hopefully Forest will be, the Forest fans that are there will be celebrating a European qualification. That would be good for them as well.
So yeah, get yourself down to the stadium on 24th of May. As we said, it's going to be a great day. Two charities the guys are supporting this year, Maggie's in Forth Valley, which we've done stuff with in the past, great charity there, and Andy's Man Shed. There'll be time for collection, and it's a full event, full festival. Entry is free, but if you can donate something on the day, the guys would really, really appreciate it. It's going to be a huge thing, and the boys put so much work into it. Ian, Doogie, and the Throttle Old Boys and Mark Bowl all put so much in organising this event, so it'd be great to see as many down there as you can. So get down, check out all the T8s in the Falkirk Football Fans and the Falkirk Football Fans Train at the Lav Cup Saturday 24th of May. Get it in the diaries and we'll see you down there. Right, before we move on and get up the road and prepare mentally for Friday, let's give a shout to those on the Medi-Calice Roll of Honour. Ross, since you weren't here last week, unveil the names.
Indeed, we have Archie, we have Joe, Elsa, Jamie, Gary, Phil, Dell, PGM, Grant, Dave, Colin, Linda, Mark, Derek, and finally Andy.
And since you've been off the last 2 weeks, Ross, who is the player we are going to have this week for the role?
Well, as part of my research for the quiz, I came across a bunch of names that I thought we could use. I'm going to say a name, and I believe he still attends the odd Falkirk game with Crunchy. So I'm going to say his name is Peter Godfrey.
The legend is Peter Godfrey, one of the finest moustaches in Scottish football, I would say.
He did.
A fantastic, he's a local boy as well, actually. I think he's born in Dennis Muir. So there you go, Peter Godfrey, what a legend of the game. So there you go, Peter Godfrey for the Roll of Honour. If you get to this point in the podcast, just tweet us or DM us with Peter Godfrey. We'll give you a mention at this point in the podcast. How are you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling better, having talked it through, and I'm confident.
We're good now, we're good. We've went through the therapy session together, everyone. We've had our moment. We're now moving on to the next stage of grief. We're done with this, so forget it, it's done. The next stage is winning this fucking championship and doing it on Friday. Let's get it done. Let's get it over the line. Let's get back to behind the wall Friday night and let's have a party. That's the dream. That is the goal.
Focus on the positive now. Focus on, there's no point looking back. Focus on the positive. Let's get it done.
Absolutely. See yous on the next one. And it's no truer than it is right now. What do we say?
Expect our expected, buddy. Money bent.
We're folk of that. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of God, we're folk of God. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of God, we're folk of God. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk of God, we're folk of God. We are folk of God.